thing that brings the Word of God into life. It's the catalyst. So I can read the Word of God and see that it says that I'm a new creature and old things are passed away. And I can say, wow, I'm a new creature. Yeah. Okay. And then I come to this body and the body hugs me, loves me, and looks at me and says, you're an amazing man of God. I'm like, what? And it's like, and they keep believing that, and it's true. And it's kind of becomes that catalyst of bringing what said, the spoken word of God, the taught word of God, into this reality of like, I really am a new creature. People are seeing me. I'm determined not to see anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I love the body. Don't you? So, which leads me, I didn't mean to do this, but it leads me into the fact that I am teaching ecclesiology, which is you and the church. I really didn't mean to do that. But and that's being taught on Monday evening, so you can still sign up for the School of Urban Ministry. We just went through a week. After this week, I don't think you're really able to go because you've missed too many classes already. We only have 7 weeks of classes, and so this unit, Monday nights, I'm teaching you in the church, ecclesiology, study of the church, and that's going to be from 6 to 7 on Monday nights. It's not too late. And then Genesis with Pastor Emmett, Monday evenings from 7 to 8, so right after my class, Genesis class. And then Hebrews, not the language, but the book of Hebrews, Pastor Powell is teaching from 6 to 7 on Tuesday nights. And then Thursday nights, we have one more class, Living Free with Freedom River Outreach, Pastor John. He's making a special emphasis on the topic of living free, and that's Thursday nights right here from 6:30 to 8. So if you have any questions, if you want to register, you can register online, and that would be good. Pastor Powell is back in Virginia with Pastor Mitch. They are taking care of their mom, just helping out back there. All is well. They just have some things to do and have to help take care of mom. And Mr. Powell, who's entered into heaven, he just left a few chores for Pastor and Pastor Mitch. I hope they don't mind me saying that, but that's what's happening. So I'm just really honored always to get up here. It's kind of a fearful thing in the sense of just being able to get up and present the Word of God to the body of Christ. It's an honor, and I'm honored to do that. A week ago last Wednesday, I was able to be here once again, and I ended up sharing on death. And I felt like it would be necessary maybe to do, when Pastor asked me to speak this morning, I thought it'd be necessary to do a part two. Because we spent a lot of time just kind of dwelling on the ugliness of death and fear of death. How so often, I think subconsciously, everything, we just don't like the concept of death, right? We talked about my work as a chaplain, how people don't die well, you know? And nor do we, I don't think we can always expect somebody to just die well. Like, I'm dying, ha-ha, you know, fun. No, we've been given these bodies. I believe they're monolithic between the spiritual or the uncorporeal part of a person and the body. I think they were meant to be inseparable. When Adam and Eve fell, that was an exception that death would come, and Jesus Christ came back to bring it all back together again, right? Spiritual death, and now we reign in life through Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to just kind of finish up the last service that I was able to share on. And I want to talk about the provision and means of positional death. So physical death, positional death. Positional death is Galatians 2:20, Romans chapter 6, I think verse 11, where it says to reckon yourselves to be dead and alive unto Christ. It's position. That's like a positional death where I walk in the fact that Christ, I actually died dead with Jesus Christ spiritually, and in the sense that I recognize myself to be dead to Christ, okay, while living on this earth, while living in this body, Galatians 2:20. So before we start, God, just bless this message And we just thank you that we can gather together as the body of Christ. Pray, we just thank you for the body. Bless the word of God as it comes forth, Lord, as I'm able to communicate it. The foolishness of preaching, it's a mystery, isn't it? That you use human beings that are just, not perfect by any means to communicate your word. And so, to the measure that we communicate the word of God, just bless it back to the congregation as they hear and welcome your word into their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to just say hello. I think my mom and dad are listening. They asked me for those. So mom and dad, 3,000 miles away, we love you. And I do thank you, mom and dad, for everything, giving me life, right? Here I am. So thank you. Love you. And also just the people that have not been here, those that are more vulnerable to COVID, we just love you. I just want to reemphasize that. We love you very dearly, and we miss you. And so grace to you while you're kind of isolated at this time. So let's just kind of go on with this idea of the provision and the means of positional death. But just before I do, I want to talk about why is it so hard for us to realize these things, the idea of death and dying, even in the physical death. And I just thought it through, and I just think that the first reason why death is so hard is because our Christian culture and our society's culture just fears it so much. Just an innate fear. And it talks about that in Hebrews, right? About just being afraid of death and dying. It's just this innate idea that death is not a good thing. And it's too much to handle. Positionally, a positional death, which is where I'm reckoning myself to be dead to self but alive to Christ. If you're living in the natural mind and you're not walking in the Spirit of God, in the newness of life, you're not acutely aware that you're living in the newness of life and you haven't surrendered yourself, even though born again is saved, the cross is also perplexing. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, to the natural mind, it's foolishness. It's just foolish. It doesn't make any sense. So I think outside influences of culture, inside influences of just even the concept of physical death kind of make us as Christians push it aside, maybe even subconsciously. Just don't want to deal with death. Separation from the established. Separation from, that's what death is, remember? Nekros, it's separation. Separation from all the things that I've worked hard on in my life. My career, my, job description, my personality. Remember, I talked about how much I can be a fighter. And so all these things, we've got a lot invested in ourselves. Other people have invested in ourselves. We've accomplished a lot. Spiritual death is when I reckon myself to be dead. Please turn off your cell phones and pagers at this point. sorry about that. Let me just do that because that's going to keep going off. So it's this separation we do not like. We don't like leaving that part of that. I'm with a wonderful believer right now who's got this really serious cancer that just came about, a very unique, rare cancer of the blood. He's been the healthy one of the family all these years, just like that. He's got this aggressive cancer. Medical indicators, he's not going to survive long. So palliative has come in, the palliative care team, I'm part of that, and we're just kind of helping him make adjustments. And as a believer, these are the easier ones, because he's a believer, and he's like, this guy knows Jesus. And so for in my role, it's not as hard, but you know what? It's not easy. So I want to acknowledge the not easiness of it. As far as physical death, this is a father who's been he's got a couple of girls, and his wife, and he's been the support. He has been the one who is just the rock for the family. He's done a good job of being a dad. And his role is about to change. And he doesn't like that. I'm like, I gotcha. The only thing I can tell him, I say, I don't think your role is going to change in heaven either. You're going to still be dad. Face to face with Jesus. No hindrances as far as praying goes, and you're still going to be there. That was comforting to him, that thought. But the separation for a time of being physical dad is not easy, right? So we don't like to part. We don't, I thought that would go off. We don't, that's my, I'm so sorry. All right, why is that happening? That's, stay with me now. Stay with me. By the way, I'm going to ask you a question at the end of this. I'm going to ask you a question to start, and I'm going to, that's all right. I think it's done. That's the hospital looking for me, and they ain't getting me today. We're not going there. The questions that I would have, let me get back in sync with my order. So Christians just don't know how to, because one, we don't like being separate. We don't know how to die. People are ignorant. Secondly, people are ignorant of what Scripture tells us about, and let's start to focus in on positional death. They're ignorant of, Christians are ignorant of what positional death is. They just never, maybe they don't get taught it from the pulpit. This is called Calvary, by the way, the cross. Maybe they just aren't taught it. Maybe they just don't get it, don't get the concept. So people are ignorant. Number three, when we're taught about it and we read about death, this is for a lot of mature Christians. Through the Scriptures, we're not willing to let the Holy Spirit illuminate us on the subject of death, of what it means to die, be dead in Christ Jesus. And we don't allow it. And when that happens, we're not walking in the Spirit. We've ceased to walk in the newness of life. And so a lot of Christians don't know how to die because in this positional death, because they simply refuse to yield to the Holy Spirit. And it could be for the reasons above too, as far as I don't know what death is. I don't get it. I don't know if I don't think I like that subject, right? Simple. So here's the thing that we're going to just kind of address today. I want to address that this death, that in the previous message we spent a lot of time saying how ugly it is to face death. Positionally, it's not so bad. And you know why? Because Jesus Christ has accomplished this death for us and on our behalf. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And let's just look at what the Scripture. This thesis, this is Paul. Romans is Paul's like finished product after he lived a Christian life. And he's making this declaration of what Christianity is all about. And he spends this time saying it's about death. It's about dying to self here in Romans 6. And we're going to read through verse 12. It says, "What?" And I'm in my King James. I'm still old-fashioned in that sense. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?" Verse 1. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? We were baptized unto his death." We were baptized unto his death. This is speaking of positional death. That's happened. This happened, past tense. I have died with Christ. Okay? "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. In other words, my sin nature no longer has power over me. It doesn't have power over you. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Go back to Romans 7, by the way, at the beginning of the chapter, and you'll see that. And if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. In verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Thank God. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So here, what we see, and let's just turn over to Galatians 2:20. I think Galatians 2:20, if you don't have a favorite verse, I'm going to give this one to you, all right? You can have this one, because this is powerful, and this is really speaks to the Christian life. It kind of encapsulates what we just read. And Galatians 2:20, maybe you already have this, you just don't know the location. I said Galatians, right? Galatians 2:20. It says that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So Jim Cornwell is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Jim Cornwell lives. Yet not I, Jim Cornwell, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I don't frustrate the grace of God because this is the way I've chosen to live, in the fullness of the Spirit that Jim is dead. So the word, if we go back to Romans 6 that we just read in verse 11, it says, I reckon myself to be dead. That term, reckon, is logizomai in the Greek, and it means that it's an accounting term, and it means the bottom line. It simply means the bottom line, like in the ledger. I consider myself to be dead. So when I wake up in the morning, it's a good thing to look in the mirror and say, dead man, but alive in Christ. Dead man, that old man, that personality, you know, the one that just loves to live, loves to bring a lot of dynamics into my life, causes a lot of problems for Jesus and for others. He's dead. He's gone. Dead. And then that's a starting point for my day. People say, let's pray first. Well, that's prayer for me. And by the way, then I enter into God, give us this day our daily prayer. You know, I'm going to pray the Lord. And, you know, and I do. And it's time to pray now. Once I realize my position, that I'm dead. By the way, if you're not that way, yeah, you know, I'm not going to spend any time on this, but the zombie movies, all those zombie movies, crazy, right? Well, I was just thinking, that's a Christian. That's a Christian that hasn't realized that they're dead. Little zombies all over the place. Cool, right? Not really. So anyway, I just want that picture in your head. That's me when I'm unsurrendered, you know. You know? And so that's all I got to say about that subject. I don't need, anyway. Okay. So Christ, this is the news we didn't get to spend a lot of time on last time. We were talking about just how morbid death is. The good news is that Christ did all the dying. He did all the dying for me. And that now I kind of just lay into that. My trust becomes one where I'm just laying down, I'm surrendering. That's Calvary, by the way, is to surrender myself to God, my ambitions, my desires, my wishes, my hopes, all that. I'm just laying it into Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of my faith, and I'm laying down in what Christ has already accomplished. The hardest part is for me to simply learn to trust what Jesus Christ has already done. And I see a lot of people just striving to stay alive. Me too. In the home, with my wife, with relationships. I'm trying to stay alive. It's a very difficult time to say I'm going to yield to what the mind of Christ. I'm going to yield not my thoughts, your thoughts, not my will. You know, remember Isaiah 55? His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. That surrender is when I'm falling into what that is, and I'm learning what God's defining what His thoughts are, what His ways are, and that's dying. Not a very comfortable place, but not as bad and ugly as trying to do it yourself, right? Jesus Christ has done it for me. I'm learning to live in the faith that Jesus Christ has already satisfied the Father with. He's propitiated the Father. So I love Romans 12. I was just reading this morning, but I won't go there in just a second, but Christ did the dying. 1 Thessalonians 4:10, Christ died for us. Romans 6, what we just read, 1 through 12. Christ did the dying. He died for us. He died for me. I don't have to do the heavy lifting. Jesus did it all. And He made it through. I just think of the cross, the crucifixion, to be crucified. It speaks of just this excruciating pain. That's what Calvary is. That's what the cross represents. He did it. He did the heavy lifting. I don't buy into Christianity that says you got to do that all over again. By the way, that is a hard burden, and God never intended that to be on us. He just wants us to be in agreement, separate ourselves, to learn to yield up and say, not my will, but your will. Not my desire, but your desire. And fall into the embrace of God and trust Him for the moment, for the difficult situation you're in, for your spouse, to respond to them the right way and not in your fleshly propensities. You know, God wants, that's called dying. You know, we die. You don't just die. Okay, I'm dead, and so I'm a Christian. No. It's Paul says, I die daily. And there's this renewed piece of, I want to say, living in the newness of life. So that the body of sin and death can't reign. My mortal member, the members of my body, and that means my intellect, you know, the things that I do is dead. I'm alive in Jesus Christ. So look at what it was. So I just want to keep harping on that. Christ did the dying. You know, He died in Romans 6:13. And now I offer myself to God as one that has been brought forth from death to life. That's what I offer myself now as. I'm being brought forth. My death in positional death is just acknowledging that the death has taken place. He did it all, and now I'm going to live in a resurrected life. And so that's Romans 6:13, right in the middle of the verse there. But in Romans 12:1, I hadn't really seen this before. It says in Romans 12:1, it says that to present ourselves a living sacrifice, right? So present ourselves a living sacrifice. This presentation is something that is done. This living sacrifice is in contrast. Robertson brings this out in his commentary, A.T. Robertson. It's in contrast to a sacrificial offering. That is not what's being spoken of here. It's not that I have to go through the process of death and dying. Jim, now you got to die. Okay, you know, I flail myself, whatever I do to die and resist me. This is where I'm literally presenting myself not as a sacrifice or a propitiatory offering to God. Christ did it. Christ did all that. But I'm instead offering myself as an offering of praise because of what Jesus Christ did and what He accomplished. I'm offering myself a living sacrifice, and I'm going to live today in the newness fullness of life. And I'm going to live, you know, not in my desires, not in my passions, but I'm going to live, you know, as a resurrected son of God. And you, a daughter, a son of God, you're going to live in this resurrection life. It's a praise offering. He goes on to mention that the word sacrifice here, it's not the same as a propitiatory sacrifice, meaning a blood sacrifice, something to appease or satisfy the righteous holy demands. But the offering here is being spoken of as when Jesus was presented in the temple when he was just a young child to be the offering to be used by God. It was a praise offering in Luke 2:22. I think the one that brings it home the most, it's Ephesians 5:27. It's the picture here is Christ presenting the church to God the Father. That's what this Romans 12:1 offering is. It's an offering of praise as Jesus Christ will one day present his body, us, spotless and blameless to the Father. That's what the offering is here in Romans 12:2. I'm a living sacrifice. Thank you, God. Praise you. I'm going to present myself because of all that you've done on my behalf. Heavy lifting is not even proper description, right? What he's accomplished on my behalf, that I would never have to taste death. By the way, physical death, the actual distinct, you know, annihilate, whatever you want to call it, death of the body and soul, I'm going to have resurrection life. This is an amazing thing. One of the things that we thought of today is that if you understand and you learn positional death, physical death is not, I believe, in my humble opinion, that physical death is not going to be this great, great, great bad ordeal. You know why? Because you're going to learn what it is to live in the fruit of the resurrection of resurrection life. And that's going to translate and transfer right into your physical dying. By the way, I don't know, rapture, maybe by the time we get out of the door today, it's close. I'm thinking it's pretty close. So you may not have to go through that at all, but, right, Paul thought that. Many of you won't see this. Was that Paul or Peter? I can't remember. But it's kind of like, I can, if I learn to live a crucified life, and I learn to understand that Jesus Christ has done it all, he's secured this, and I'm going to live in a presentation of praise to God today, Romans 12:1. I hope you see that in a new light now. Pastor said the other day we need to learn it. We need to know, have a new vocabulary in how we live our Christian walk, a new frame, because it's so drastically different than our human minds can even begin to. And so Christ did it all. He did all the dying. And we praise him. We thank God today. By the way, that gives you capacity. It's not as scary, is it now? let me give you this little illustration before you put that video up there. I got the changer. Let's see. I'm going to give you this because it was an analogy or a metaphor that I thought worked pretty good. About a year and a half ago, my son Jay invited me to go skydiving down in Oregon. And I am deathly afraid of heights. I'm a little better off now than I used to be, but just totally afraid of heights. And Jay and I, he never got the fishing gene, so he's not like, we don't do a lot of things together as far as that stuff. And I'm like, he asked me to go skydiving. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, no way. No, that can't happen. And then Spirit of God said, Jim, you go with Jay. And I did. I said, okay, right on the same little three-second pause. Seemed like an eternity, a three-second pause. Anyway, I said yes, and Jay took me skydiving. And so I went down to Oregon, and I joined up with Jay. But I can't tell you, like, how when I say I'm afraid of heights, I really do mean that. Carolyn and Liz, my two daughters, we were in the Grand Canyon. We were at the Grand Canyon, at the edge of the Grand Canyon, the edge, and in 2000. And got out of the vehicle. My daughters run, and my wife ran to the railing, which was probably about from here to the back of the back row. They run to the railing. They all of a sudden, I'm still back at the car. I see my daughter Carolyn climbing over the railing. Right, I think 6,000 feet is the depth of the Grand Canyon. We were on the north side. We were on the high end, right, whatever. And so all of a sudden, I saw her climbing over, and I started to scream, and then I started running, and then she went over. She was gone. And I just freaked out and just in total horror and fear froze. And then I think I screamed. I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did, but I couldn't even get any closer to the edge because the heights. And then my wife's saying, "It's okay, honey, it's okay." I'm like, she's like, and Brenda called me over, and the, you know, right over the railing was, of course, this steady decline, you know, to the cliffs that are way over there. Carolyn had dropped her camera over the railing and had to go get it, which was just right there. But I didn't see that. My perception, as you were talking about, was not good in that situation. But I was so frozen, I scared myself how frozen I was. Somebody asked me, Jeff said, "Jim, you know, oh, anyway, I, the only thing I thought of is it wasn't very kind to freeze up and not rescue my daughter, Carolyn, except for my wife was there. So I got off the hook on that one. So, so that, I just wanted to give you a little setting. So Jay asked me to go skydiving, and this is, you can go ahead and go to that first slide. That's Jay, that's me, and I think we're at about 12,000 feet right here. I think they just opened the door. And I was the last one on. Do you know what that means when you're the last one on? First one off, thank you. First one off, right? You've done this a lot, right? Yes, you have. How many people have skydived before here? Raise your hands. Okay. So yes, exactly right. So I'm first one off, and I'm not only that. When you're the last one on, you're at the door, and the door is just a plexiglass door. It's plexiglass. You're looking. You can't even see the edge because it's like more under your behind here, and so you're just looking down. And I was so stiff. So that guy with the green hat, the helmet there, his name's Turtle, but we're going to name him Jesus today. We're going to call him Jesus, okay? Because this is going to be my metaphor. I'm totally strapped to him, totally like chained onto him, and he's like, Jim, you okay? I'm like, I'm right there. I had not one drop of moisture in my mouth. All the things they warned you of when you're in fear, you know, you have fear was going on in my body. I could not, my tongue was sticking to the top of my mouth, almost right there. So this was a fearful thing. And so they opened the door. They did it once at 6,000 feet too, just to kind of get me used to it. And then they opened it again at 13,000. And so I was so stiff, his name's Turtle. He just kept saying, "It's okay, Jim, it's okay, I got you. And I'm like, "No, I don't know how I even heard that." But anyway, this part of my leg, the last foot of my leg, was inside the cabin, so everything else was exposed out the door. This leg was so connected to that plane. He's like, "Jim, it's okay. He's like, "I need you to spin around now." No. And so it was just excruciating. This was not easy. You can see my son was really, really struggling with me. So next film, next picture. So this is where that's all going on, and I didn't even get the best picture. But anyway, here I am so frozen inside, and I think he's about to get my leg out of the way and turn me around, and then off we go. So the next one here is 13,000 feet. Woohoo! And Turtle, look how relaxed Turtle is, right? And so that's 13,000 feet. And you can see how well strapped I am onto him. And then the next picture, this is Turtle watching Jay and me reuniting. No, I can't jump. I was trying to, I think I was at my peak. Jay was coming down off a nice jump, but that's about the extent of our hi-fi. But this was a celebration, like a glorious celebration. And the observation, Turtle is watching, you know, this whole, Jesus was watching, rejoicing also, that I was not strapped to him anymore. And then the next picture is Jay and I in heaven. You know, we were just like, whoa, that was awesome. Yeah, and it was. Once I got out of that plane, I was like free. I was like, whew. So I use this as a metaphor that Jesus Christ has done it for us on our behalf. And he just asked us to say, relax. I got this. Relax. I've done this. Actually, I've done it already. And I want you just to relax. And as we grow in our walk with Jesus Christ, that's the question I have is, will I grow in my trust that Jesus Christ has really done it? He really did the hard stuff. I don't have to die. I mean, in the sense of like doing it all over again, what Jesus Christ has accomplished. I don't have to do that excruciating part. My Savior, Jesus Christ, has done it. And he said, now I want you to live in the life that I've given you. Death, burial, resurrection life now. He says, this is the life. Now, when you read Romans 6 again, I want you to read it in this light. Go home and read it in this light and say, this is what it means. This is what Galatians 2:20 means. I am alive in Jesus Christ. So let's just wrap it up here. Romans 6:12 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him in life today, right now. That's Romans 6:12. In Romans 8, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. It's the spirit that gives me the provision and the means to separate and understand that I'm no longer the old Jim Cornwall when I get in the mirror. Spirit of God is witnesses to me that I am indeed a son of God now. It's the Spirit of God witnessing to me. That's where I'm surrendering. I'm just saying amen, amen. I am surrendering to that fact. And because the Spirit does live in me, and if you're a believer and you know Jesus Christ, he lives in you. And the question is, will you surrender to the Spirit and believe that Jesus Christ has done all that crazy, excruciating, unbelievable, heavy stuff, and that he did it on your behalf that you might have life today and have it more abundantly? You see what I mean? That as we start to live this life, your physical death is going to be kind of just going to follow. It's like, this is not easy surrendering my body, but I've got resurrection life. And death is about to be swallowed up. Finally, the rest of it, my physical body is going to be, I'm going to part from it. All the pain it's caused, by the way, all the pain it's brought, you know, we see this with our cancer patients and so on. And death is going to be swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right? Death, where's your sting? It's not because Jesus Christ did it all, secured it all. And the question is, will I live in that? See how the two physical deaths, our positional death, they kind of go together. And I honestly believe that the one who learns to walk in knowing how to die to self, just surrendering and trusting it, will be okay when it comes to physical. I think people just aren't in that groove. They're not in that mindset. Physical death comes upon them, and it's like Jim in that plane, right? The cat that's going to have a bath. Whatever, right? It's like, that's what it's like. I'm not minimizing. I made that clear last time I spoke. I'm not minimizing physical death and how hard, you know, the hardships that come with it. But when to know that he's going to have me soon, if I can just make it through this process, I'm going to be resurrected with it. That's how I want our deaths to be, my death to be, you know? Yes. Not so easy, but Jesus Christ did it all. So I got a couple questions I want to ask. this is your homework. And if you don't like homework, it's not homework. What will you do to grow in a new frame of reference regarding positional death? What are you going to do? You know, just jot that down. What am I going to do tomorrow to grow? Maybe it's standing before the mirror, like Jim does. You know, that's what I do. I'm kind of held captive. I really got to shave. I got to look in the mirror. It's time. And that's what I do, in the mirror. That's how I start my day, and I'm going to be doing it a lot more in a more focused way now than ever. What will you do to grow in a new frame of reference regarding positional death? Two, I'm going to ask you, will you seek examples in the body of Christ or through the Word of God, but I'm saying a living example of somebody that lives a Spirit-led life? And how do we, now we can kind of define Spirit-led again a little more. Spirit-led is not just somebody who, you know, shouts their faith, which is a good thing, but it's somebody who is, they're obviously dying to their own self. They're letting go, like we said last time, like Jesus Christ let go in Philippians 2:7. They're letting go of the prerogatives of this life, of like living the best life we can live, you know, and having all the riches and or whatever it is, whatever's comfortable for you. Maybe it's just your house. I ain't going out of my house. This is comfortable for me. And I'm just fine here. And Jesus is saying, come off your throne and just surrender to me and I'll show you what life is. Like with Paul, he said, I die daily and I die that you might live. It's a glory. It's the other side of Calvary when I learned to die. It's a wonderful thing. It's nothing like seeing somebody come along and take on the life that we're speaking of today of Jesus Christ. Lastly, so seek examples. Will you seek an example of somebody and watch them, be discipled by them, and learn what it looks like? You'll see that, hey, just like we preached today, it's not so crazy hard. And look at the blessings that person has. And three, I just want to ask, how alert will you be to realize Christ is saying, will you die? Will you just follow through with this last part? Just die yourself. And we kind of, you know, how alert will you be to just hear, Jim, you're already dead, all is well. How alert will you be to just hear the Spirit of God say, you're already dead, so you don't have to fight anymore in this argument. You don't have to scratch and claw. You don't have to, you know, make sure your personality. I don't even have to make sure I'm heard unless the Spirit of God is saying, Jim, you really need to be heard on this. But my regular disposition, and that's how I can be. People that are around here, Pastor Kevin knows me in board meetings. I want to be heard when it's time for me to speak. I got to hear. Zip it, Jim. I don't take good cues. Not that you've ever, but, you know. He probably has, I just missed it, you know. I die, and I can just surrender to what Christ is going to do, you see. So let's live this life with the time that we have left. Talk about strengthening the things that remain, Sardis, you know. It's kind of like, let's kind of move forward and strengthen the things that remain. Learn how to live this crucified life and learn the other side of the cross and glory and just to surrender ourselves. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. This will change your life. And it's a process. I want to kind of, it's not always just one and done. And I want to say that to help normalize the struggle you have sometimes of dying to self. Because we have this body of sin and sin and death, right? And the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Spirit lusteth against the flesh. And there is this battle that goes on. And it's okay that it's not one and done. Everything I'm telling you is, this is a message for me today, you know? But he's done the heavy, heavy stuff. And just remember that. And now it's just me surrendering and just saying, okay, I'm attached, turtle. I mean, Jesus. I'm attached. You do got me, don't you? Yes, I really do. And by the way, I don't mean to, yeah. sacrilegious there talking to turtle and Jesus the same breath. I'm going to call him and say, do you know what you were talking about? Do you know Jesus, turtle? Because I used you in the service the other day. I just want to disclose that. Anyway, it's like I'm all strapped in to Jesus. He's done it. He does it. I relax in it. That sounds crazy, but that's what we learn to do in our Christian walk. So God, we just love you and we thank you this morning. And I want to pray that if there's anybody here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't even know that he died for you completely and wholly for both your physical life, and to secure an eternal walk with him after you're done with this body, that he died so that you can have life again and not be separate, because if you're not saved, you're going to feel separation from the holy, from God. You're going to feel like you don't know him, and yet you're going to have a craving desire to know God. And that's the Spirit of God prompting you and just prodding you to say, receive him. He has completed the work. He's satisfied a righteous, holy Father that you cannot satisfy. You've sinned and you've come short of the glory of God. And you don't have what it takes to please the Father because you're a sinner. And yet Christ has died. He died in your place on the tree on Calvary. He died for all your sins. The list of everything that was against you, he satisfied after walking a perfect life. And you just want to, and today you want to say, I receive everything you've accomplished for me, Jesus. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. I want to know you. And if you said that prayer, I want you to tell somebody, another Christian, that you received Christ. Just say, I asked Jesus into my heart. And if you said it, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to let me know, you raise your hand right now. I'll meet with you and we'll talk about it. Is there anybody that you just asked Christ to come into your life? Okay, so God, we just love you. Let this life be in us. Let us live in this walk that you've called us to walk in. And we just praise you. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.